Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, sons and daughters of the Most High God. I'm glad you're here. We're in 1 John chapter 2. We're walking through the book of 1 John. And as you recall, it's a pastoral letter. And it's really about 14 different paragraphs or replies. My sense is that people wrote John and said, hey, we got some questions for you. Can you help us understand what's going on? And John wrote this letter back, and he kind of broke it up into these paragraphs to say, let me address what you just asked there. And so he does it. But he does it with this pure pastor's heart. John really loved the people of God. And he may have been 100 years old or so. He lived longer than any of the other disciples. He may have been 100 years old when he wrote it, but perhaps the book of Revelation had already circulated in all the churches, and they were waiting on Jesus to come back, and years had passed, and we thought Jesus was coming back soon, and he hadn't come back yet, and they were discouraged. And I do believe that Jesus is coming back soon, and I don't want us to be discouraged between now and then, whenever that is. And John didn't want them to be discouraged either. He said, yeah, Jesus is coming back. Let's not be discouraged. Let me help you understand a few things. And so that's what the book of 1 John is. So in chapter 2, John writes, my dear children. Now, you know, that in our language, that sounds neat, but in the Greek, it's just such a deeper meaning. It's like he would gather them together and hug them and say, oh, children, just sit down for just a minute. Let me tell you what you need to hear. It's like what Debbie was saying a moment ago that she told Jay. You know, it's that tenderness that says, you know, God loves you. We love you. How can I help? I want to be here for you. What do you need from me? And so that's the flavor that we have here. My dear children, it's not an insult. He's not calling them children as an insult. He's saying, man, I love you. How can I help you? I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Man, just some amazing things here. So he says, we have one who speaks for us to the Father. He comes to our defense, and that's Jesus Christ. It's a similar word. You know, we have the word for Holy Spirit, which is paraclete, right? Like you have a pair of nickels or a pair of dime, you have a pair of cleats, right? But sorry, thank you. I thought the sports people might get that. And it's not a parakeet, okay? It's a paraclete. And what that means in the Greek is someone who comes along beside you to comfort you. It's a guide on the side, if you will. He comes along and he says, I'm going to walk with you through this. Now, I don't know about you, but that's great comfort to me. It doesn't matter what you go through, what you're going through right now, what you will go through as life hits you in the face. The Bible says the Holy Spirit comes along beside us, but not only that, we have Jesus who comes along beside us. It's the same word, paraclete, here. He comes along beside us in a different capacity. And so it says if we sin, anybody sin this last week? Raise your hand. Okay, we all raised our hand. Those who didn't are lying. Okay, that's a sin. It gets all of us, right? So if we sin and we go to the Father and say, Father, I've sinned, the Bible says Jesus comes along beside us and says, Father, Abba, Father, I got this. This is what Jesus called his daddy, Abba, Father. I've got this one. Yes, Jim sinned this week, but I've got it. He comes along in our defense and says, Father, I've got this. Because apparently some people were thinking, if they sin just one time, they sin, which was a Jewish teaching among the Pharisees, if they sin just one time, then they would be eternally damned to hell. And so they were writing John and saying, look, can you help us understand this? Man, I sinned the other day. I got mad at my wife. She burnt the toast, you know, and I went outside and kicked the camel. You know, I messed up here. Can you help me, right? And am I going to hell? And John said, no, that's not how it works. If you sin, you have someone that comes along beside you and speaks to the Father on your behalf. Isn't that beautiful? Now, the Father's not sitting up there counting our sins and holding them against us. There's no condemnation, no, not one. It says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we think that when we've sinned, God is keeping a list of our sins. He is not. He does not keep a list of our wrongs. when we are in Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ erases all those sins. Isn't that comforting? So when you're driving down 24 and you have those bad thoughts and take that bad action, come on now, work with me here. Jesus comes to your defense and says, Father, it is crazy on 24. Have you seen what it looks like? 60,000 people charging into Nashville all at the same time. The Father comes to our defense. Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. He's at one-ment. Atoning means at one-ment, at peace with God. He's taken your sins, Jesus has, put them into himself. The Father cannot see your sins. He's the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. For God so loved the whole world. No, let's just rephrase that. For God so loved people that have the same color skin that you do. Is that what it says? For God so loved the same people that are in the socioeconomic status of you. Is that what it says? For God so loved the people who speak the same language you speak. Is that what it says in the Bible? For God so loved what? The whole world, right? The whole world. That's everybody, right? 7 billion of us and counting. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. And this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as he did. You know, there are three wishes of any child, and that is to know the parent, right? To live with the parent, and to have some form of fellowship with the parent. That's true of all of us, right? We come into this world, we recognize this is my mom, this is my dad. If you're in a single home, this is my mom or this is my dad. However it works out, or these are my grandparents, if you're raised by guardians, grandparents. But there's a significant other in our life that we look at and we go, I want to get to know you. I want you to get to know me. I want to abide. I want to live with you. But also, not just want to live with you, but I want to have fellowship with you. I don't have this relationship with you. Can we do that? And so many kids nowadays don't have that. Amen. We just heard a testimony earlier of one who didn't have that relationship with the mom. And it has troubled him for all of his life, right? So we as parents need to know that when a child is born into our family, that we need to make sure they know who we are, right? They understand who we are, that they're going to live with us. We're not going to kick them out to the curb, you know, kind of thing. They're going to abide with us, but also that we're going to have a relationship with them. We're going to have a conversation with them. I don't know, you know, back in the day, you didn't have a relationship with your grandparents, right? You went to their house on a set date, right? And you ate the meal. And, you know, you kept your mouth shut if you were a kid, and then you left and went home, right? You know, you've been there, right? And it, for us, it was every Sunday, right? Every Sunday we went over there. And then when we had cousins enough to play with, we all went out in the backyard, the cousins did. And the old folks sat in there, watched, I don't know, Ed Sullivan, and talked about politics, right? Whatever the thing was. We didn't get to know our grandparents. Some of us didn't even get to know our parents, because perhaps in that generation, it wasn't the thing you got to know your parents. You got up, you got dressed, you went to school, you came home, and there was no conversation. Nowadays, it's hard to have a conversation with teenagers because they're always on the phone, right? They're connected to the phone, the iPad or something. And it's hard to have a conversation with adults because they're always on their iPhone. You notice that? Or their iPad. We need to put those things down and just start talking again, right? Well, John is saying, look, put those things down and just have a relationship with me, with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Just put those things aside for a moment and just meditate on me, because the Father wants to get to know you. He already knows everything about you, but he wants to get to know you in the sense of, I want to have a relationship with you. He's offering you that opportunity. So don't turn your nose up. That's what John is saying. Don't turn your nose up at this. And then he makes this comparison. He talks about obeying. You see, a child obeys because it has to, you know, because mom or dad will, you know, spank or punish or take the phone away for 12 minutes. You know, oh my God, the phone, 12 minutes. Much less 12 hours, right? Total torture. Amen? I see some moms out here and some dads shaking their head, right? But a child obeys because it has to. An employee obeys because it needs to. I need a paycheck. I got to obey. I got to obey the rules or I'll get fired. I got to obey. But a Christian obeys because he wants to. A Christian obeys because he wants to. We want to obey our Father in heaven. We know it pleases him. And we also know that he hasn't told us these things to do and not do to take joy out of our life, but to bring joy into our life. Amen. Because when you participate in the things he says don't do, I promise you it's not going to bring joy. It might bring pleasure for a moment, but it's not going to bring joy. The pleasure fades, the joy lasts forever. But when we obey the things the Father wants us to do, right, there's joy in our life. Because the Father knows it's dumb to sin. Right? It's dumb to, and I'm not calling you dummies because we sin. I'm not calling me a dummy because we sin. I'm saying it's dumb to sin. Why? Because every time you sin, it opens a door for Satan to come in and tempt you with something else. You know, you eat that first donut. Oh man, I just went to messing then. All you folks been eating donuts. You eat that first donut, it just opens the door up to the second donut, right? And then you go to the cream-filled donut. And then you go to the chocolate-covered cream-filled donut. You know what I'm saying? And then you have sprinkles on top of the chocolate, on top of the cream-filled. I mean, it just goes on. You keep opening the door. Or coffee. Let's take coffee, for instance. You know, you get to coffee. You can get it with caffeine or not caffeine. I see some hands going up. I saw what you drank this morning, young lady. That thing was that tall, full of caffeine. Then you add the caffeine to it. Well, that's not just enough. You got to add a little sugar to it, right? Maybe 3 or 4 tablespoons full. Maybe 5. I don't know. You add that. Then you got to add some cream to it. And then some caramel to it. And then some chocolate. And I don't know. You can add all kinds of stuff to coffee nowadays. It's amazing what you can add to coffee, right? I saw somebody stirring up some okra in their coffee the other day. It was amazing. I'm kidding. I didn't see that. Lying is a sin. The point is, when we open the door, right, to one sin, it's just dumb because it opens the door for Satan to come in and do crazy things to us, with us, around us, right? So just close the door. So I'm not going to do that. A child obeys because he has to. An employee obeys because he needs to. But a Christian obeys because he wants to. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates his brother, ouch, is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother, even though he irritates him, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there is nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness, and he walks around the darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. You know, there are three proofs of sonship that I've discovered in this passage. One is a proof of sonship or daughtership, if you want to use that word. Proof of being a child of God is obedience to God's word. But secondly, a second proof of sonship is demonstrating God's love in a tangible way. Demonstrating God's love in a tangible way. And that's what John's trying to get us to. And the third proof, I'll say that, but I'll come back to the second. The third proof is acknowledging that Jesus is the Son of God. That's 1 John 4:15-16. But we're to demonstrate this love that's been poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Romans, it says, God pours his love into our heart through the Holy Spirit. Love is a verb. It's an action. It requires you to do something, right? It requires you to get up off the couch, walk across the room, and say, can we talk? Right? Love is an action. It requires you to get outside and go wash the car for your wife or your husband. Teenagers, Go wash the cars for your parents. The outside, don't worry about the inside, but at least wash the outside, okay? You can do this. You got skill sets, you can do this. Love is a tangible thing, it's what we do. And that's what John is saying. He says, hey, if you say you love God but hate your brother, I'm sorry, you got it wrong. You're walking around in darkness. You missed the boat, right? It's done left and you can't jump that far. If you say you hate your brother, you're still in darkness. You still haven't figured it out. The light has not shined into your heart yet. However, whoever loves his brother lives in the light, and there's nothing in him to make him stumble. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks around in darkness. He does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded him. Listen, your hatred for somebody only blinds you. You know that, right? You know this bitterness and anger that we have toward other people. Someone has said it's like drinking poison and hoping they die. Right? That's what unforgiveness is. That's what bitterness is. That's what hatred is. It's drinking all the poison, all the bitterness and hatred, and hoping that person's going to die because you're drinking it. Stop drinking the poison. Right? It ain't good for you. It will kill you on so many levels. Don't walk around blinded. Release those, that bitterness. Release that unforgiveness. Release the anger you have. Just give it back to God. Say, God, I don't know what to do with it. God says, hand it here. I know what to do with it. I'm pretty smart. I created the universe. I can take care of your bitterness. Hand it to me. Just give it over to him. And then John says, I write to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That's Jesus. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, young women, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men and young women, because you are strong. The word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. John said, remember who you are. Now, there's a threefold nature to walking in Christ, a threefold nature to walking in Christ. There's child, there's young adult, and then there's father or spiritual leader, spiritual person, right? There's child, who represents the wonder that we have, as children have wonder about things. They're learning things. It's this wonder. As young adult, that's about works. You've got the energy, the strength, the drive to get things done. And then the father in us is the wisdom. And at any given moment, this threefold nature that you have within you is in operation. So in some areas of your life, you may be operating as a child, right? This wonder, you're still learning about this. Maybe you bought a brand new Bible and you're enjoying it, you know, because it's got some notes and everything in it. It's just wonderful, amazing, this wonder. Maybe you're at a young adult stage where works are important and you just want to get things done for God. And then maybe you're the father or the spiritual mother, the spiritual father, where you look at things with wisdom and say, you know, one of these things is not like the other, right? We don't need to be doing this. We need to get back to this. We need to do this. That's the wisdom that comes through. And so John is saying, I'm writing to all of you, father, son, child. I'm writing to all of you to say that God has a plan. He's working out his plan. And sometimes we need to approach his plan with open wonder. Just, oh, wow, that's amazing. Debbie and I have enjoyed here last several months since the new telescope popped up in space, showing all these amazing, amazing things God made and put into space, some of these nebula and stars and the size of them. And we look at the moon and we compare it to Earth and we wonder how big it is, and it's not a whole lot bigger than, you know, this way and this way. And then you look at these nebula and they're 10 times, 30 times the size of our sun. That's just so much wonder there, right? And so God put all that out there for us to wonder at it, because we want to continue to wonder. Things under the sea, things in the stars. Maybe today you feel like a young adult and there's works that need to be done, right? Then go do those works, right? And maybe you're at that point in your life where you had this wisdom that you've accumulated. And God is saying, I need you to pass wisdom on to someone else. Now's the time to go make that visit. Now's the time to go share that story. Now is the time to step back into someone's life that maybe you backed out of months ago or years ago. Father calls us to be a paraclete to others. He calls us to come along beside others and be a guide on the side and help other people, whether they're that spiritual father, mother, whether they're that young adult, that teenager, or whether they're the child living in wonder. I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. That's what we talked about in our last series, abiding in Christ, abiding in the Father, getting to know Him. Acknowledge the relationship, right? Acknowledge the relationship. You know, believe what He's saying. Believe who He is, right? Invite Him into your life. Do what He says and experience His presence. My prayer for you, children, young adults, and spiritual moms and dads, my prayer for you is that you would experience the wonder and the works and the wisdom of God this week, and that you would share it. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for how you love us and how you pour your love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that right now, if we're carrying bitterness or anger or animosity toward someone else, that we would just release it right now, because it's taking up space for love. So, Father, we offer it up to you right now as a prayer. Father, here's my bitterness. Here's my anger. Here's my animosity. Here's my hatred. I give it up to you, Father. Here it is. And I invite you, Father, to fill our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and just fill us with the love of the Father. Replace what is not good with that which is best. And that's your love. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way with us. Change us, correct us, disciple us, guide us, teach us, empower us, love on us, comfort us. Come, Holy Spirit, right now and have your way with us. For we pray in the strong name of Jesus, Yeshua, Emmanuel, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals, Jehovah Nisi, the God who is over us, Jehovah Uzi, the God who is our strength, Jehovah Shalom, the God who is our peace, Jehovah Sidkenu, the God who is our righteousness. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.